Okay, as always, the Torah Shavita Lish Master of Geshem and Rabari Day. This week, Parshas Bahar, the Parsha of Shmita, the Parsha of Yovel. And famously, Rashi at the beginning of the Parsha says that the Rabbeinu Shalom spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu Bahar Sinai Lemur, and then it proceeds to tell us about the mitzvahs of Shmita. In fact, Rashi, Ma'in Shmita Itzel Har Sinai. Seeing as a number of people have asked me this week what Pshat in Rashi is, I suggest that this is the Pshat in Rashi, according to one of the Mefarshi Rashi that I saw. Rashi asks a question like this. It's really a medrash, which Rashi is explaining. There are a multitude of mitzvahs that were said to us at Har Sinai. In fact, it's obvious that this one was said at Har Sinai as well. If we look in the Torah, we see we were at Mamad Har Sinai in Parshas Yisro. We didn't leave there, and never we committed the Egel. After which, we built the Mishkan, and we started to bring Karbonos. We're still there, we haven't left. It's only once we get to Sefer Bamidbar in the beginning, Parshas Bamidbar, Parshas Baal Yisro, tells us that in the second year, Klal Yisrael moved on. So we know that they're still at the foot of Har Sinai. That's therefore not necessary for the Torah to have to tell us that this mitzvah was given at Har Sinai. Why does it say it? Explains Rashi, explains the Medrash, that many mitzvahs were told to us at Har Sinai, recorded in the Torah that they were told to us at Har Sinai, and then it's recorded in the Torah that they were repeated to us in Arvos Moav later on by Moshe Rabbeinu in the Mishneh Torah, in the repetition of Torah when he did Chazarav with us in that last month of his life. There's a mitzvah which, and often when those mitzvahs are repeated in Mishneh Torah, there's an additional detail that's added in. For example, like Rashi explains by the Ophus, Rashi explains by the mitzvah of Ha'anoka for an Eved Ivri, there's a little additions that are added in. There's one mitzvah that isn't spoken about at all in Sefer Devarim, and that's Shmitas Karkois. Shmitas Kesofim is that all loans are nullified in the beginning of Shmita. Shmitas Karkois is not. Shmitas Karkois is only spoken about in our parasha, in Parashas Bahar. They have to leave the land totally fallow, not allowed to do anything with it in that seventh year. It's therefore clear to us that every detail about Shmitas Karkois was taught to Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai because it wasn't repeated in Arvos Moav. The Torah chose this mitzvah, which it's clear to us that every single detail, every single klal, every general rule, every detail, every minuscule halacha was said at Har Sinai, and chooses to tell us about this one that it was said at Har Sinai, even though it's obvious to us, to use it as a binyan av from which we'll be able to learn to all other mitzvahs that they were also said at Har Sinai, even if they were repeated in Sefer Devarim. It's a binyan av for all mitzvahs. A mitzvah which you anyway know, and it's so clear to you that everything about it was said at Sinai, we reiterate it was said at Sinai. For what purpose? To tell us. Just like this one was said in its entirety at Sinai, and that's clear because it's not said anywhere else, so too all other mitzvahs are as well. Now, a lot of the Mefarshim asks, even after Rashi has told us that just like this one was said at Sinai, so too others were said at Sinai, they don't take it to the degree of that this, with all its details and its muchach, it wasn't said anywhere else. There are other mitzvahs which are not repeated later on in Sefer Devarim, and they could have been used as an example over here. Why does it choose Shmita as this example? Why did the Rebbeinu Shem choose Shmita as this example? So, Rav Zevin, in his unique way, says that we know that the Torah and its mitzvahs are there, as we see from the Rishonim, to guide us, to really help us get ourselves in line with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be. They guide us to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They guide us in order to perfect ourselves. In fact, there's three avenues that Torah and mitzvahs guide us down. The avenue of Bein Adam LaMakom, the avenue of Bein Adam LaChaveroi, and the avenue of Bein Adam LaAtzmai. Now all these three avenues are taught to us by a variety of different mitzvahs. Some drive us down the avenue of Bein Adam LaMakom, and we perfect our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some help us to perfect our relationship with one another, and some help us to perfect our relationship with ourselves. He says Shmita has these three components in the mitzvah itself. It's a unique mitzvah because it's a mitzvah which incorporates within it these three avodas, and therefore it's like an archetype mitzvah because it contains within it all the mitzvahs, all the kavanas of all the mitzvahs. How do you see that? He said, you've got a pasuk that says, V'shav sa'aretz Shabbos la'Hashem. You've got to keep this Yom Tov, keep this year of Shemitah as completely the Shem Shemaim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. It's Shabbos Lashem, just like it says by Shabbos Bereishis, as Rashi points out. This is to instill within us our emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Beini Uvei Minei Yisrael, Oisi La'olam, is said by Shabbos. It's with regards to Briyas Olam, with regards to Eretz Yisrael. It's said about Shemitah. That's our Kesher Ben Odom Lamokim. Then there's a halacha that says, Sheishonim Tizra Zarecha, Sheishonim Tizmer Karmecha, after it's Tuosa. In 6 years, get on with it and do your hishtadlus. And in the seventh year, don't. But there's a pasuk that tells us that the Shemitah is there to tell us there's a window of opportunity before which we've got to use. And that is our avoidah ben adam la'atzmai, where a person has to be frank and honest with oneself. Where do I hold with regard to my bitochen, emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? At which level of bitochen do I hold? And get on with the hishtadlus that's relevant for me. And then there's a halo, a pasuk which tells us, v'hoysa shabbos ha'aretz lachem la'ochlo l'cho ula'avdecho, ula'avdecho, v'la'amosecho, v'lisircho, l'iteshovcho, and v'ochle evyoine amecho. These are all psukim which are ben Adam la'chaveiro. This is all there to show us that this is a mitzvah which contains within it, and therefore this was chosen as the example of a mitzvah to learn to all other mitzvahs, because this mitzvah contains within it the kavana of all other mitzvahs. In the Mayim Beis HaSheva, Rav Schwab suggests that the reason why Shemitah was chosen is because Shemitah is actually a mitzvah which proves Torah's min hashamayim. No one in their right mind would come to a nation and say, look, you're going to keep this Torah? Yeah. And at Har Sinai tell them, look, Har Sinai, we all want to know that Torah is misina. That's min hashamayim. Okay, so at that spot, at that place, comes the Rabbeinu Shalom and he says, I want you every seventh year to leave your entire country fallow. Not in a system of rotation so that you should have the fields replenishing themselves, their energy over a short period of time, and during the other time you're using other fields. No, no, everything lies fallow in the seventh year. There's nothing going on. But I'll guarantee you that if you intend to do that, then already in the sixth year, you're going to have an abundance of produce. And not only that, if you intend to keep Shemitah and Yovel, I'll make sure that the year that precedes that, those 2 years, there's such an abundance of Tuor that it will last you through. And there'll be a brocha in the Tuor, there'll be a brocha in the Besoich HaMe'ami, you won't need to eat so much, you'll suffice with a little, you'll be able to sell it to and make parnasa from others. This is all just when this brocha comes in the Shana HaShishis. We're not talking about yet someone who's kept Shemitah. We're talking about someone who has committed to keep Shemitah. And the Rebbe Shmuel says, "With Shvi'is Berachasi, I'll already give you my bracha." He says, "Who's going to take that risk when Klal Yisrael is still a bunch of nomads in the Midbar to tell them you're going into a land where I guarantee you that if you commit yourselves to keeping Shemitah, you're going to have tremendous bracha, time in, time out." And it happened, and it still happens today. So who gave the Torah? Only whoever created the world and whoever maintains the world or whoever keeps the world running. And therefore, he says, that's why this is the mitzvah that's chosen. This is the one that was said at Sinai, because this mitzvah proves HaKadosh Baruch Hu's guiding hand and proves that Torah is mi-Sinai. It's from the Creator. It's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Regarding this mitzvah of Shemitah, there's a few interesting questions that can be asked about this mitzvah. And interestingly, we'll see that these questions are asked by the Sfasemes and the Shem Yishmuel, that's from the Kotzka dynasty, and they give a very similar answer, if not almost the same. Rashi tells us, "V'shov so'aretz Shabbos la'Hashem," that land should be resting la'Hashem. Pirush Rashi, "L'shem Hashem." Keshem Shenema b'Shabbos Bereishis. Rashi ties the two, the Shemitah every year and the Shabbos every week, to one another. There's some sort of comparison, there's some sort of analogy, there's something that can be learned from these two mitzvahs. And the question is really, what's the comparison? There's no comparison at all. On Shabbos we do nothing. We're not allowed to do anything at all. In Shemitah we don't interact with the land. You can do everything else. One can still be busy with any other type of parnasa. So what is the, how do we compare these two together? So there's another question. He says you can ask that when Eretz Yisrael was given to Klal Yisrael, it was given. Avraham Avinu was told we're going to get Eretz Yisrael. B'choris imo abris. Never thought about this. B'choris imo abris. Loseis lezarei hachnani. Achidim avir apriz yoshev agosh. Loseis lezarei. There's twice the word loseis. and this one seems to be totally superfluous. V'chorezimu abris, he contracted with Avraham Avinu a bris. What? Which is what's the bris? Loseis is eretz hakanani achitim v'chorezimu avisu v'agigoshi. Loseis lezaroi to give it to his children. What's the extra loseis? Why does it repeat it twice? Yaakov Avinu is told about Eretz Yisrael. V'yiten lecha ha'elokim mitala shamayim. Says Rashi, v'yiten. You don't start off a sentence with a vav. Say Chazal, yitain v'yachzor v'yitain. There's going to be this giving and giving the losses. Losses. There's going to be a giving and there's going to be a giving again. In fact, when Avraham Avinu is told that he's going to be getting Eretz Yisrael, also there we're told that the land of Eretz Yisrael is going to be Asher ani noisein lochem. Yeah, kisavoy el aretz Asher ani noisein lochem. B'shavas aretz Shabbos laHashem noisein. When you come to the land, Asher ani etein lochem. What's Asher ani noisein that I am continuously giving to you? So they both bring the Orach Chaim HaKadosh in Parashas Bereishis, who tells us that every week the Rabbeinu Shalom creates a bria for a week, and it's not muchach that the next week is going to happen. We come to a Shabbos. It's meant to be the end of the week. Shabbos is Makar HaBracha. We invest in it. And through that, we mashpi HaBracha into the next week. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the Bria for another week. There's a variety of different Hischad Shuyos in the Bria. There's Machadesh Betuvei B'chol Yom Tomid Ma'aseh Bereishis. There's also Hischad Shuyos that happens weekly. And there's a Hischad Shuyos that happens every Shemitah cycle. He says the world is dependent on Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Arachayim HaKadosh and Sefer Bereishis has set a teba in the Bria that a world is created for a week. At the beginning of each week, there's the Shishishishimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimim Klal Yisrael invests in a Shabbos. Klal Yisrael is Meshabeach and Makir the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Boirei Ha'olam. It says, oh, you're Makir where it all comes from. You're Makir, it's me. It's Kedai to create it again so that there should be more Hakara and that there should be more Tachlis going out through the week. I'll create another week with a Shabbos. So they both say, both the Sfasemis and the Shem Yishmul say, and with this they explain a variety of different things which we don't have time to go into tonight, but they both beautifully say that the Rabbani Shalom comes to Klal Yisrael and he says, you know, I'm giving you Eretz Yisrael, but it's on a 7-year term. You get it for 7 years. And it's not muchach, you're going to have it after those 7 years are up. But we'll see. Sheishonim tizazarecha. Vesheishonim tizmarekamecha vasaftes tuasa. Uvashon hashviyis, leave it fallow, leave it alone. Engage with it for 6 years and then leave it alone. If you do that, then there'll be another cycle. If you don't, it'll be taken away. As the pasuk in Parashat B'chukos says, "Oz tirtzeho oretz ez shabsoiseho." What did the Teichacha say when Klal Yisrael didn't keep Shemitah? They got booted out of Eretz Yisrael. In fact, the Churban happened on a Motzi Shemitah. Because, sorry, you can't have this for another cycle. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is loseis. He gives it again. And he's a noisen, there's a continuous giving. Because it's not muchach that we're going to have it another time. But if we keep the laws of the land, if we keep the laws of Shemitah, and we keep Matnas Aniyim, so then we get another chance, and we get it again. That's the analogy. V'shavos haaretz, Shabbos LaHashem. Says Rashi, and says from the Medrash, Pirush L'shem Hashem K'shem Shenema v'Shabbos Bereishis. Just like by Shabbos Bereishis, there's this thing, keep Shabbos, invest in Shabbos, be makir the lessons of Shabbos. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I guarantee you another week. So too, over here we have the guarantee that if we are for Eretz Yisrael. He says that's why in Shemitah, it says there's a post that has to tell us that you have to give l'schircha l'seishavcha, which means you give a guy to eat. What's the post? And we probably would have thought not like that. You know, a guy is not allowed to eat ma'aser sheni. It's not allowed to eat netar avai. It's got kedusha. You've got to take it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. And this has got kedusha shvius. It's more. You know, if you pay the ma'aser sheni, the kedusha leaves the fruit and goes onto the money. You try and be pay the shvius, the kedusha remains on the fruit and on the money. And yet a guy is allowed to eat peres shvius. Says the Shem Yishmul, yes. Because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, at the end of 7 years, this goes back to being a world belonging. Chevra, Klal Yisrael, you realize I gave it to you as a gift. It's not muchach, it's yours. Now we makir who gave it to you. You makir who gave it to you. It's back to everyone, to the world entirely. Then I give it to you for another cycle. And that's why the Torah has to tell us, especially there, that a guy is allowed to eat from it as well. So we know that that's telling us that that's for a Gentile is allowed to eat Peir Shvius as well. There's a pasuk a little later on in the parasha. The parasha. So the Losis as well. Losis, I was giving it. I think that's the Sfasanas. The Losis, I think is the Sfasanas. Yeah. That's the Sfasanas. And also the Yachs of Yitim. Yitim, Yachs of Yitim. Yeah. Yeah. So the later, the parasha then carries on to tell us about Neb, there's a sequence of events. If Neb, someone didn't keep Shemitah, he'll end up having to sell his land. We've got to try and help him and help him buy his land back. So there's a halacha about Stei Achuza, a person who owns land in Eretz Yisrael and it, for whatever reason needs to sell it. So the sale takes, there's a minimum term of 2 years within which, or two tavuos, really, the seller is not allowed to buy it back. And after that, if he wants to buy it back and he comes up with the correct sum of money, the buyer has to sell it back to him. And it says that if he can't buy it back, his relatives should try and buy it back for him. Says the pasuk. V'ish, ki lo yiyeh lo goyel. And a man who doesn't have a relative to redeem for him, v'hisi goyodo, but he manages to come up with the funds. U'matzok de gulase, he's able to afford it, he comes up with the funds, then he can buy it back himself. So, Rutsi Hashfer with the Karamatsvi, he heard from someone, I'm not sure who this is. He says Hagon Reish Mem, Rav Meir, Rav Matzior, Rav Mechol. I don't know who it is. Someone Chifet Zechitzal Levracha. He says, you know, unfortunately, sometimes it happens that a person, when they think they've got someone who's a relative who's going to back them up, they put their bitochen totally in that person, and they think, oh, I'll always be okay because that person's going to bail me out. That person's going to help me, going to save me. He says, and then, unfortunately, you'll get some people who take that to the nth degree and they don't do anything themselves because they're totally reliant on this goyel, this relative that's going to be there. So the pasuk is telling us that v'ish ki lo yiyeh lo goyel, someone who doesn't have that, you know what's going to happen? He's si goyodo, he's going to go out and he's going to graft a parnasa. Umatzo gidei gulase, because he's also going to realize that he's going to find his gula, he's going to help him out. How does that work? The Netziv over here says a pshat. The Netziv says an amazing pshat. The Netziv says, V'ish ki lo yiyeh lo goyel. So you know what happens then? He realizes it's just Hashem. You know, it's like the people who try all different ishtadluyot. You hear stories from all different people in different avenues, tried all different ishtadluyot, and then they decided, you know what? Now it's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I've tried everything. Now, and then the Geula comes. Why? Because they suddenly realize, V'ish ki lo yiyeh lo goyel. Is a havtocha, says the Netziv. V'ish, ki lo yiyeh lo goyel. And V'ish talks about a chosh of a person. He's davening, he's putting his bitochin in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he realizes that there's no goyel. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I guarantee you. V'hisi goyodo imotze kidei gulose. He will find his gula, he will find that which is meant to come to him. In fact, the Chassam Sofer, I'll read you out his words, so I think he's hinting to something a little bit more here as well. V'im ein le'ish goyel, v'hisi goyodo, yeshleim aksiv. It's a pasuk that we've laid this in every Ne'ilah. Levilti yidach mimenu nidach. The Rebbe is never going to allow anyone to slip away totally from him. Im ein le'ish krevim ligoy loisoy, azay Hashem beracham av yazrei ushetasi yodoy v'yigol hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help him. V'yigol hu es atzmoy. V'lochein lo'iksivim isigo yodon, elo loshen havtocha, di'im ein le'ish goyel, oz yehei botuach, again, so all this is a similar thing, but he's also bringing this possible value. Yidach mimenu nidach. Person sometimes feels in a predicament, in a ruchnistic way. Where do I go? Sometimes a person's got someone who can help them out, someone who I can rest on, someone who I know is going to, a tzaddik is going to help me out, and then it comes to a person, ish ki lo yiyeh lo goyel. I'm stuck. Who's going to help me out? You know what? Run to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees us he's going to help us out. It's quite fascinating, and I was thinking this week, in this parasha is the mitzvah of loisoinu isha samiso. There's twice where it talks about loisoinu in this week's parasha. There's oinas mamoin, and there it doesn't say v'oreisim elokecho. And then there's oinas devorim, when it does. So that myth about sticks and stones will break my heart, but words will never harm me. The biggest load of sheker. So the pasuk says like this. When it's talking about oinas mamoin,
this sort of influence the Yechuzah.
So, sorry, one second, I'll come to that in a second. Sorry, yeah. So you said, V'chisim k'rumim k'ar l'amisecho. Person sells, has to sell a field for whatever reason. Koinam yad amisecho, or the person is a buyer. Al toinu isha sachiv. Don't upset your brother, meaning don't overcharge or don't underpay. Don't take advantage. Don't take financial advantage of someone else. And there the Lashon is, al toinu isha sachiv. Then the pasuk carries on, a few psukim later, says according to the amount of many years left till Yovel, so the price is going to be more. If it's a few years left till Yovel, the price is going to be less. Don't upset your contemporary. Say Chazal, just learn V'lo Yisoynu. Yeah, that was Oinoas Momon. And this is Oinoas Dvarim. Oinoas Dvarim happens in two ways. One way could be that I give a person incorrect or in a very cynical way, I give him bad advice for my benefit. But in the end of the day, I've been over in Oinoas Devorim. The advice that I gave was bad for him. It's upset him. That's Oinoas Devorim. Or it can be possible to be mucking at someone else, to take advantage, to shepherd someone else. That is, sometimes no one will know because a person can do it with a straight face, or a person can do it in a cynical way, or a person can take an advantage of a disadvantaged person who won't realize that they're being taken advantage of. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, just watch out, because I'm there, and I can, so this parasha then tells us an amazing thing. This parasha is really telling us, it's the parasha of Emunah, and we're talking in our Kodesh Baruch Hu. The parasha tells us the mitzvah of Shmita. So the mitzvah of Shmita is a mitzvah that, yeah, we've got to invest in our emunah and betochen in our Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what we've got to invest in. The parasha also tells us, don't take advantage of someone else. Why would someone want to take a financial advantage of someone else if one's emamim be'emunah shlema, that everything that I'm meant to have was niktzav from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, that's what I'm meant to get. So play the rules. Later on in the parasha as well, it says, you know, if a person got bought, an Eved Ivri got bought by a Gentile, then there's rules to play by, how I buy him back, when he's living in Eretz Yisrael, and he's living under our jurisdiction, but one's not allowed to lovoy or love back kifin. One can't come and try and play some game on him. Besides the fact that it creates a chilul Hashem, but this is the parasha of Emunah and Bitochen in our Kodesh Baruch Hu, that there's, when the way we live, the way we conduct ourselves, and how we interact with one another is also so much based on the emunah in our Kodesh Baruch Hu, in the fact that what he gives us is what we're meant to have, what he provides for us is what we're meant to receive, and all of this is meant to be a chizuk in our emunah and bitachon, which manifests itself in Bein Adam LaMakom, manifests itself in Bein Adam LaChaverah, and of course in Bein Adam LaAtzmai. I saw a couple of fascinating the end of the parasha says if a person takes an Eved Ivri, buys an Eved Ivri, lo yisir der boy beforech, was not allowed to impose themselves with heavy work on this. So Rashi also says it means don't give him futile work. Or just go and schlep my stuff to there, or go to carry the chair at the table from there to the garden, there to go, move this upstairs or downstairs where there's no necessity for it. Ah, yes, what do you mean? I'm employing him. He's my employee. I'm paying his wages. I'm paying his family's food. I'm looking after him. He's my Eved. Doesn't matter. The Rebbe Shmuel says you've got, there's rules to play by. Be a mamin. Don't take advantage of another yid. You know, just to bring out the extent of how one has to think about another yid. It was famously known that Skolena Rebbe, Zichta Livracha, the father of the Rebbe, was just nifta, together with his son, was tremendously osik in Pidyon Shvuim in Romania after the war. And looking after yidin and trying to help them out during the times of I think it was Ceausescu and before. And one of the times, it was getting close to Pesach, there was no matzah. There was no matzah. They didn't know what they were going to do that year. And the Rebbe tried with all the connections that he had around the world to try. A few days before Pesach, a massive order of matzahs arrived. Donated matzahs You can imagine the Rebbe was tremendously besimcha. But even what arrived wasn't sufficient for everyone to have matzahs for Pesach. So the decision was, everyone's going to get one matzah to be mekayim the mitzvah with a kazayis. I think it was the Seret Vizhnitz Rebbe that was living there at the time. I remember Chaim Kaufman Zichtal Baruch told us this story. And the Seret Vizhnitz Rebbe came amongst everyone else, and he came to get a matzah. And he got his matzah. Could only get one. Everyone was only getting one. Benon Shel Kedoshim, but he's only getting one. The next day, the Rebbe sent his son and told him, go get a matzah as well. The Skonari Rebbe didn't ask any questions. Different person gets their own matzah. He takes his matzah. Strange. Matzah per family. He's taking a matzah. Okay. The Rebbe knew the rules. His son seemed to know the rules as well. Erev Yom Tov, the father says, the Rebbe says to his son, you know the matzah that I told you to go and get the next day from Skolana Rebbe? Take that to him now and give it to him for Pesach. He comes to the Skolana Rebbe, Erev Pesach, and he says, my father said I should give you a matzah. Wow, how did your father know that I had no matzahs left? How did your father know? Where did he get it from? He says, no. My father knew that you would go Yom Tov and give away your last matzah and you would be ending up with no matzahs. So he took a second one to make sure that comes Erev Yom Tov, you also have a matzah. Right? There's a story that you can learn so many limudim from, whether it's Don the Kav's Chus, whether it's thinking about another yid to the extent of what type of yid they are. These two yid, and what were they worried? What's the gadlus? Do you know what the great things are? The small actions, the thinking of another yid. Where does that come from? Because Kutshavrichu v'yraisa v'yisrael chad hu. We're all one. And you know what? That's part of, really, a little bit, still like Boimah today, it's part of what Rav Shimon bar Yochai taught us. You look beyond what's there. Look into the depth of what's really there. Look into the neshama of Torah and look into the neshama of a yid. Because that's really what counts. That's really what counts. The rest is the levush. But the levush, if you have a very nice garment on top of a filthy, sullied dirt pot, then what's it worth? It's not worth anything. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm giving you a beautiful Torah. You should know in that Torah, it's not just that the outside is beautiful, the depth of it is tremendously beautiful. And a yid has to walk around with Bein Adam La'atzmai as well. We need to remind ourselves constantly that we Hashem a yid on the outside, of Medav Zayin Hashem a yid inside. And it's Bein Adam La'atzmai. When we fix that up, we've got to know as well there's Bein Adam La'chaveroi. And when we fix that up, we've got to know as well that there's Bein Adam La'mokim. And that is what Rav Shimon bar Yochai taught us, to look beyond, to look deeper. And that's what this parasha really teaches us. Emunah Mitochen is about our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Shmita has taught us. Shmita, it's about us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't belong to us. Everything belongs to the Rebbeinu Shem. Everything we have. It's about between us and the rest of Kali Yisrael. Everything, we're looking after each other. And it's Avodim. We're looking after Avodim. Whether it's with the Matnas Aniyim, which is spoken about. We're looking after each other. And after that as well, there's our Kesher, Bein Adam La'atzmei, where we know there's the Avodah that we need to do constantly with ourselves to improve in order that we have these sorted out together as well.